Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting live from the Big Apple, and we're going to be having a topic today that I think is really an interesting one. So many people have a battle with addiction, whether it's alcohol or narcotics, and my guest today, whose name is Melanie Solomon, has put out a publication, AA, Not the Only Way. And it is a one-stop resource guide to 12-step alternatives. Melanie, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks for having me, Donna. How are you?
Well, I'm doing wonderfully, absolutely, thoroughly enjoying the environment in New York. But I really, when I got your book, thought, wow, this is something I'm so aware of, that there are alternatives to AA, but you yourself went through a 12-year battle, and you tried, to the best of your awareness, all kinds of things. Tell us your story, because you are a full-time writer, you're a lecturer, you have been involved in education on so many different levels. Tell us your story.
Well, my story, Donna, is really it started, I used to experiment in high school and college, never got addicted to anything, never had a problem. Until a doctor prescribed me something for my migraine headaches, and it was basically like liquid morphine, and I got addicted within like 3 days. And that spiraled into about a year and a half long of pill use. It's just a long, very long story, but I got addicted to prescription pills that doctors prescribe you. And so I went into my traditional rehab. That's where I got indoctrinated into the whole AA system. And I was told, you know, not only did I have this problem, but I was also an alcoholic. I said, no, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I drink very socially, but I've never had a problem. They're like, oh, don't worry. You'll stay here long enough, you'll become alcoholic. You'll realize it. Well, after saying, hi, Melanie, but I'm an alcoholic, you know, like 10 million times a day that you're required to do, I began to think that if I had a drink, that would, oh, my God, all of a sudden lead to my drug of choice and then death and or institutions. And, you know, it just scared me. And A would work for me for about 6 months to a year at a time, and then I had anxiety and depression, and that would get so out of control that I would just start using pills again. I would just say, oh, my God, give me a Xanax. I can't take this. And then I would spiral out. And for over really 10 to 12 years, I was going in and out of AA, treatment centers, emergency rooms, sober livings. I mean, it was not a fun ride. And in all this time, nobody ever told me there were any alternatives to AA. They said, in fact, that if there were any out there, they were like fraudulent. They were not, you know, the real deal. AA was the only thing. And so in 10 years, I never even thought to look up any alternatives to AA. And until one more overdose, and I woke up and said, I have to live another way. I can't live like this. And there must be another way. And I just started researching online alternatives to AA, and a whole new world opened up to me. There was not just one alternative. There were many alternatives, and I never heard of any of them. And I'm sure, and I began to write everything down that I found, which eventually became the book, because I realized that if I was in this predicament, there must be millions of other people in the same type of predicament, that they are in AA and it's not working for them. And in fact, it fails about 95% of the people in their first year. And these people need a place, they need alternatives, they need other options. Just not saying keep coming back, that's not an alternative.
You have a Frederick Rogers, who is mm-hmm. an associate professor of psychology at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. And he wrote the preface to your book, and I really liked a statement that he made. He said, there's no such thing as a typical person with alcohol or drug problems. And he goes into an explanation about how, for example, with hypertension, there's like 50 different medications that are available, and every single person has a biological variance. And medicine hasn't gotten to the point where it understands that, nor knows how to work with it. And his whole demeanor of presentation about being aware that there are alternatives to these challenges that people can have is really quite significant. And he was very pleased to be able to write the preface for your book. How did you come to know Dr. Rogers?
You know what? When I was doing my research, I just started finding other professionals in the field that were also interested and are doing work on in this field. And I started contacting them. You know, I talked to Stanton Peel, who is very big in this field. He wrote on the back of my, he wrote a blurb on the back of my book. You know, Tom Horvath, Mark Kern. I mean, all these professionals have been trying to offer their clients alternatives to the AA, and they've been doing this for over 20 years. And it's just a very slow process. I knew when I wrote my book, it was about 5-10 years ahead of its time. And so Frederick Rogers, I just researched him. I found him and I contacted him, and he contacted me back. And we started a relation, you know, a colleague relationship. And then he wanted to write the preface. And he has a very good point that everyone is different, biologically different. It's not, this is not a one size fits all problem. So it's not a one size fits all solution. It's just not.
Now, one of the points that you bring out in your book, that this is not a bashing of Alcoholics Anonymous, of AA at all. This isn't the point. The point right. is that you are saying if it works for someone, that's great. If it's not working, you need to be aware of other things. And one of the things that you feel is so positive about AA is that it's taken a stigma away from alcoholism that for so long was there. And it opened up an opportunity for people to be able to face the reality that there's definitely something wrong. Now, one of the points that you bring out is that there is an ignorance about the physiological needs of the body, and that very few professionals really medically are up to date or understanding how to work with it. And one of the points that you make, you get no encouragement to change diet, to exercise, to learn stress reduction, and people often trade addictions. And I have to share with you something that I became aware of many, many years ago. This was about 20 years ago. A group of physicians had talked about this very thing and saying that most of the time addicts, whether it was with narcotics or alcohol, suffered from a form of nutrition. And in their awareness at that time, it took the body almost 3 years to balance out its chemistry with nutritional supplementation, paying attention to the diet, and just dealing with the fact that one of the replacements or addictions that can come in to play out things for a while is a compulsion to eat a lot of sugar. It's a fascinating right. thing. It's just absolutely amazing. And I have seen this happen with a number of people. And you said it in your book, sometimes you trade one addiction for another addiction.
Right, and that's the thing, that the problem I have with thing about AA is that you go to an AA meeting and what's there? Donuts, people are smoking cigarettes, and coffee. So we're trading one addiction for caffeine, nicotine, and sugar. And this is not going to get you in the right state of mind. No wonder I was so depressed and anxious mm-hmm. after about 6 months of this, 2 years, because no one ever, you know, my diet was horrible, and, you know, I never exercised, and, you know, I didn't mm-hmm. feel well. So mm-hmm. when you don't feel well, you're not going to stick with it, because you're going to say, forget this. I didn't get sober to feel like, you know, crap. I thought, you know, I wanted to feel good. That's the whole point. You want to feel good again. And, you know, most people that have had a problem with alcohol or drugs are very malnourished. You know, they've supplemented, you know, instead of food, they're just drinking or using whatever drugs they're using. Mm-hmm. So we need to get this. This is part of the process. It may not be the whole thing, but it's definitely part of it.
Well, I think that in my observation with people, and this is relating to alcohol, but it also affects addicts that are involved with any other kind of addictive substance. When you're not nourishing your body, the love of sugar is so high because it is a substitute, and it is that which feeds the brain temporarily, even though it only lasts for a very short period of time. So this is something that brings up a level of awareness that we need to look at people individually and need to understand their chemistry. Now, for you, because of what you have gone through, How did you find out the support, or what support did you eventually utilize that enabled you as a woman, as an individual, to be able to say, thank you, I finally got this cycle of repetitive agony over with?
Yeah, well, it took me an almost fatal overdose, which I don't recommend. What helped me was, actually it was called Kundalini Yoga, helped me a lot. And it was basically what Kundalini Yoga is. It's, instead of more about postures, it's about breathing and getting into a higher state of consciousness. And so I really liked this. And this satisfied my spirituality. You know, this was great for me, and this worked for me better than any meeting ever could. So for me, that's what worked, plus a bit of cognitive behavioral therapy I went through, you know, to change my thinking. That's really important. I want to bring that up is, we've got to change our thinking, because most people that have an addiction problem have a very low self-esteem and they negative self-talk. And what I mean by that is, you know, oh, you look in the mirror and you say, oh, I'm too fat. Oh, I'm not pretty enough. Oh, I'm not good enough at my job. You know, constant talking, you know, thoughts that go in your head that are completely negative. And we don't realize that most of us are doing negative thoughts almost all the time. And that's, we've got to switch that around and retrain our brain to think positive thoughts. You know, I am good enough. I am beautiful. I am lovable. You know, all this kind of stuff. It sounds a little bit corny, but it really worked for me, because, you know, what I really believe that negative energy attracts negative energy, and positive energy kind of, it's like a stick attracts positive energy. So it really, really worked for me. Once I got into the habit of it, saying, you know, no, I'm not going to think negatively all the time, and changed it around 180 degrees, that's what did it for me.
You bring out information about a number of different groups, and it was quite an education for me. I did not know anything about SOS, which is
okay.
Save Ourselves, and you say it's the first large-scale alternative to AA. Tell us about James Christopher and what prompted him to found this organization, and what is it all about?
Well, SOS, or Save Ourselves, they're actually having their national conference I believe in May, so that's coming up. So they'll be glad to hear we're talking about SOS. Let me see when I can see it. I want to see it. It's like May 14th. They're having their annual convention, if anyone's interested. But Save Ourselves was founded by James Christopher in 1985, who was an alcoholic himself. He quit drinking in 1978, though he realized early on that AA was just not for him. And so he developed a group that did not have the religion spiritual aspect of it. That's not a necessary part to get and stay sober. It includes groups, going to groups, you know, going to meetings, not groups, but free meetings. And so they believe in total abstinence, just like AA. They're very similar to AA, except that if you, you know, can't get into the whole, you know, God thing, which is in like 6 out of the 12 steps in AA, you might want to try SOS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you have something in here also about women for sobriety. And so many times, and I had a very dear friend that, to my amazement, and this is one of the most disciplined women I had ever known, I found out that due to a critical illness, she had become a hardcore drinker. Not even her husband knew. She was a closet alcoholic.
Okay.
And once her medical condition was treated and she wasn't living in pain anymore, she was fine. But her husband was astonished to find huge gallon jugs of vodka that had been hidden away in a closet. And
okay.
He happened to find it when she went to the hospital, and he was astonished. And after she took care of certain physical issues, she didn't ever have anything like that again. And I can remember how surprised I was. And not being judgmental at all, but I thought, wow, here is a person that had been suffering with something. As a woman, she didn't feel she could go to talk to anybody. So when you have listed, and by the way, for those of you listening, my guest Melanie Salmon, an AA, Not the Only Way, she has a listing of all kinds of organizations, information in her book. So I'm pulling a few extracts out. So the Women for Sobriety, I think so many women feel like they cannot come forward. They just don't want to do that. And this is an organization that I think would be a very good one for them to know about. How did you become aware of them?
Again, through my research, I became aware of them. Once I started looking into alternatives to AA, here was Women for Sobriety, and I found out about it, and I got some literature from them. and they seem to have a very good program. It's a 13-step program, but it's all about positive, like I was saying about the positive thoughts, it's all like positive affirmations. And as women, we need that. You know, we beat ourselves up. We don't want to be, you know, our self-esteem is already, you know, at the bottom. You know, when we come into the program, we don't need someone to like crush us more. We want someone, you know, we want a program that's going to lift us up. So this one is very good because it's got the 13 steps. I'll just say, you know, one of them is step 2, negative thoughts destroy only myself. And it's my first conscious act must be to remove negativity from my life. That's just one of the steps. And so it's like that. It's not about making amends to people who you have harmed or, you know, giving your life to a higher power or anything like that. It's just all about, you know, changing your thinking to allow positive things in your life and love into your life again.
You also have in here the Sinclair Method. Now, this is using a type of medication plus helping people to get rid of their learned behaviors that got them into the challenging essence of addiction anyway. So tell us about Dr. David Sinclair.
Well, he was one of the first to recognize how the use of, it's called naltrexone. Mm-hmm. It's a medication. It can lead to the extinction, elimination, or craving for alcohol. And he realized that, and so he's been using it, and then plus you use some cognitive behavioral therapy along with it. And that's the Sinclair Method. And they all beat the Sinclair Method, along with many of these other methods, do not agree with AA in saying that alcoholism is any sort of disease. I want to mention that. And I don't believe that it's necessarily a disease. That's too simplistic. It's a biopsychosocial disorder. It's something that you learned so that you can therefore unlearn. Mm-hmm. And if it's a learned habit, anything that's been learned can be unlearned. And it's just like people who quit smoking. You know, they don't go on forever and say, hi, I'm a smokeaholic. They just say, hi, I used to smoke, but now I don't. And that's just the end of it. You just have to learn how to change that habit that we've got, you know, of, you know, using substances to, you know, get through life. We have to change that habit. And we can learn how to do that. It takes some work, but it's, you know, it can work. And most of the research is showing now that it's not just some disease that, you know, that we have no control over or powerless over. And that's not true.
You bring up alternative treatments, one of which is acupuncture. And I think acupuncture is a marvelous modality to use. And it took a long time for it to start to gain some recognition about its usability. Now, in the Eastern medicine environment, people are very comfortable with it. They've been comfortable with it for centuries. It's been very useful. But for us here in the United States, I mean, I can remember when people just absolutely damned it, when the American Medical Association and others did. But there is a man by the name of Michael Smith of the Lincoln Hospital Center in the Bronx that actually pioneered the acupuncture treatment for addiction in America, and he treats over 250 addicts every day. And that is amazing. That is absolutely amazing to me. I had no idea that he had been so successful with this. Tell us why this is something that works with some people.
It works with some people because when you're doing the acupuncture, and it doesn't hurt. I've done it before. They're very tiny needles. But what it does is it relaxes you. It takes the anxiety away, and it can take cravings away. It can literally just take cravings away, and they will not be back. And it just depends on, like I said, your body, your values. I mean, it depends on you as a person. You can try it and see if it works, and you can use it along with anything else if you want to. All these things are interchangeable. You know, you can use a group. If you want to go to meetings and have acupuncture and, you know, start exercising, that's great. You know, these are not just mutually exclusive. You know, they're, you know, very interchangeable.
You bring
what works for you.
Mm-hmm, and that's the key. That's what I think is wonderful. You talk about Chinese herbs in your book. You go into a lot of it on that. The neurotransmitter restoration, NTR. Mm-hmm. Dr. William Hitt. He is the man who developed it. Give us a rundown on what that is and why it works.
Well, it was developed by Dr. William Hitt over 20 years ago, and he actually just died this past May, which is very sad, but his center is continuing on. But what it is it's you intravenously drip these amino acids. And what happens is they will take your personal history with what you've been using and seeing, and take blood tests to see where your body's at and give you the right amino acids. And this is usually a 10-day treatment. And I'll tell you, it's not all comfortable. I did it and got very nauseous. It wasn't a fun thing, but it was just, 10 days. I did it, and what it does is it restores your neurotransmitters in your brain to before you ever took a drink or a drug. So what happens is you literally, by the end, you don't have any cravings anymore. You don't feel like you've ever drank or had a drug, but you have to stay off it. Once you put the alcohol or anything back in your system, it kind of messes up your receptors all over again. But in just 10 days, instead of years of repairing, it just helps repair the body quicker than if you were just doing it on your own. It's not, I wouldn't suggest, what happened with me is I had NTR, and then I was kind of told that's all you needed, which wasn't true. I needed some therapy. I needed some other help beyond that. But it is a very good start to get your body and your mind back into gear, back into health.
Well, this gives people who have family members, loved ones that are really in trouble, some options to work with. Now, someone listening to this may think, well, you've talked about this, you've talked about that, you've talked about the other. How in the world can I choose what's right for me? How do I go about this? How do I know about the reliability or the reputability of a group, an organization?
Well, all of these organizations have basically, all of these treatments have basically, the research has shown they all have about the same effective, failure rate or success rate. That's not the key. The key is research has shown that the best predictor for one's success is your ability to choose your own program. So that has been statistically significant. So that is very important. And how one chooses is, I've kind of narrowed everything down. I've narrowed the treatment centers in the back of the book down. I've narrowed the professionals all over the U.S. I've kind of done all the research for everybody so they don't have to go through the Internet and find millions of things and go, where do I start? You start with this, the alternatives that I suggest, you kind of go to the website and say, maybe Smart Recovery. Oh, they believe in, it's rational emotive behavioral therapy, and they believe it's not a disease, and so I don't believe it's a disease either. So it's really, you have to find one that resonates with you. Like if you read about one and say, yes, I believe what they're saying, like it's not a disease, or if you say, yes, I believe it's a disease and I believe you're powerless, then you go to AA, that's fine, that's probably going to work for you. But if you don't have those beliefs, you might want to try something else, and you just have to go on their website, and I've provided all that information for you. You just go on their website, do a little, a little bit of reading, and you'll feel it in your body, which one just kind of feels right for you. And you just try it. And if for some reason it doesn't work, you might want to try something else, or you might want to combine it with something. You really just have to find your own unique thing that works for you.
You have 10 items that you say have been proven to be totally ineffective. Let's cover those. And you say this is from a report of Hester and Miller's bottom 10 alcohol abuse treatments, and this is with their latest research that they've done. So talk about this for a minute, because, again, ignorance is something that keeps us back. Sometimes we're going to be embarrassed, or we feel embarrassed or shamed because we think we should be able to get past something. And I think one of the most important points to make is that if you are experiencing a challenge like this, if you have a loved one that's experienced a challenge like this, reach out. Don't closet yourself away, because it's something you need help with, and it's not a bad thing to go and ask for help. So what about these things that are not positive? What should people be aware of that's on the negative side?
Well, just basic general alcoholism counseling or confrontational counseling, which is used in a lot of rehabs and sober livings where they're very confrontational and they're very, they treat you badly to kind of run you down so they can build you back up in the AA way type thing. That's shown not to work. That's not effective. What has been effective, and what's actually interesting, is they have the top 10. Now, if I had listed the top 12 of the least effective treatments, you would have seen 12-step facilitation. And then the next one you would have seen is Alcoholics Anonymous. So that's just something for people to be aware of, is I'll tell you what works, that has been shown to work better, are just brief interventions. Those have been shown to work. And then motivational enhancement therapy, It's the opposite, basically, of confrontational counseling. They kind of meet you where you're at. They're very understanding. They just want to get you motivated to get better, to take steps in the right direction. You might not have to get sober all at once. You can take steps. Like, just, you know, it's called harm reduction therapy. Basically, it's where they just don't expect you to give up everything all at once, you know, and be better all at once. You know, they really work with you. And a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is what I did. Those have been shown to work very well for people with addiction. And so those are all. And then the things that don't work are just basically the relaxation training on its own usually doesn't work. Videotape self-confrontation doesn't work. An antidepressant medication usually does not work. So these things, you know, education like tapes, lectures, films, those things don't really seem to, you know, those are not the best ways of doing it. Cognitive behavioral therapy goes back to changing your thinking. It's all going to come down to changing your thinking. I'm telling you that. You've got to start thinking positively about your life, about yourself, then about life. Even if you don't believe it at first, you have to start teaching yourself, reframing your brain to think positive thoughts. And I do it as a test. Do it as like a 30-day test and see what happens. See, you will see more positive things happening in your life.
There are so many good points of information, Melanie, that you give in your book. And like you said, you have done your homework. You have put all kinds of references, contact information, details about specific programs. We've mentioned some of them. With you, when you're talking before groups and you're sharing this information, do you often find that people have a sense of relief in knowing that there are these other options that are out
there? Absolutely. They're relieved. They're grateful. They're just like, I can't believe, no one ever told me this. Why is no one telling anybody about this? And that's my thing, is I want to get this message out there to people that everybody has a right to know about their options for any medical condition, whether it's, you know, cancer or addiction. You know, if you were to go into cancer, if you had cancer and you went to the doctor and he said your only option is to turn your will and life over to the care of a higher power of your own understanding, you would say, okay, and what are the other options? We should be expecting other options. This is like a medical right. It's not even ethical medicine that people are practicing when they're just offering one option and saying it's basically the only way. That's really, it's harming people. It's harming people. People are dying every day because of this. People just telling them this. We've got to start looking at the research and not hiding it and not, you know, just pushing it under the rug and really looking at what the research is telling us and saying, AA was developed in the 1930s. And for then, it was a good program. You know, instead of like a mental, you know, facility, you go to AA, that's much better. But now we've done over, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years of research, and AA doesn't encompass any of that research. I asked them if they would encompass any of the latest research. They said, no, we can't do that. But a lot of these other treatment programs, alternatives, are more up to date. And so, a sense of relief is an understatement. They just wanted, and for me, it was just, it was so relieving. It was relieving to know that I wasn't the only one failing. And it wasn't me failing the program. If it's not working for you, all that means is this program does not work for you. It doesn't mean that you are failing in any way, or you're not good enough, or something's wrong with you. All it means is this: you've got to find another program that will work for you.
AA, not the only way. That is your website, AA. NotTheOnlyWay.com, so people can find out more information what you do.
They can, and I actually now offer, what I do is I offer consulting on the phone if people want more personal attention or, their family members. So, mm-hmm. And the first hour is free. So anybody can go on my website or contact me directly and get that consultation if they would so like, if they think it will help them.
I think that is extremely generous of you, because it does mean that there is an opportunity for people to explore different options. My guest is Melanie Solomon, AA, Not the Only Way. Her book, and it's into its second edition, it's your one-stop resource guide to 12-step alternatives. You've got a listing of licensed professionals. You've got information about various treatment programs. And as she said, if you don't challenge, if you don't ask, what other options do I have? And maybe the people won't be able to give you any other options. One size doesn't fit all. And I think the more we can educate ourselves about the options that are available, the richer and better and healthier our lives can be. Melanie, thank you for being so honest and so candid about your own journey and taking
Absolutely.
The time to do something that I think is going to benefit a lot of people. And again, her website, aanottheonlyway.com. Thank you for being my guest today, Melanie. Melanie
Thank you for having me.
My delight. AA, not the only way. Check it out. You may save the life of someone that you really love, giving them an option they did not know was even available. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting from the Big Apple, New York City, and we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Donna. Welcome back. Well, I am telling you, I'm going to be back in studio on Monday, but being in New York City is absolutely invigorating. Can you imagine being on a bus and having a bus driver sing? That's right. Singing bus driver in New York City. This man, it was really fascinating. Let me back up a minute. I'd taken a bus because I had wanted to go to the Metropolitan Art Museum, and which, by the way, if any of you ever have a chance to come to New York City, you must, absolutely must go to the Metropolitan Art Museum. It'll take your breath away and make sure you give yourself a whole day. The place is just huge. But regardless, I took a bus to save my feet because it is quite a haul. It'd be a good hour hike just to get to it. So I took the bus. The bus driver I had that was the bus that was taking me down to where the museum is, he had a sourpuss attitude. He didn't particularly want to engage with people. He must have been driving since God was born, and he just didn't like bus driving anymore. The bus driver that was driving the bus that I took coming back, he was exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. He was singing at each stop. He'd say street number such and such, and he had a good tone, too. He sang well. So before I got off the bus, I had a chance to talk to him for a few minutes, and I said, I want you to know how much I've enjoyed your singing. And he would sing out again, all of the different stops as we'd come up. Always had a positive comment. To my amazement, this man has been driving a Metropolitan bus for 23 years. And he has this wonderful attitude. And when he came to our stop, he said, have a magnificent day, and he's on his way again. This is a bus driver that's driving for hours interacting with people. The demeanor of the people that got off the bus was amazing. One East Indian woman, she was sitting across from me, and we looked at each other and we smiled because we were really enjoying his singing. And when she got off the bus, she said, I'd like to get back on the bus with him again. She said, it makes it worth riding the bus. Wow, what a difference. I didn't know bus drivers could be that way in New York City. How you act, the perception you give to other people about how you feel about yourself, how you feel about your work, wow, it has an impact. And so often through the years, there's been a perception about New Yorkers. I know I've heard it time and time again. The people will say, oh, in New York, people are so unfriendly. I've got news for you. There are nice people everywhere. I find people will smile back at you in New York City. Yes, that's true. Everywhere I go, I find people are very thoughtful. But you know what it takes? Often you have to initiate it. One of the things that I noticed when I was sitting on this bus with this happy bus driver singing at every street stop that he made was how people were gracious, said thank you, please. I was listening to this and I said, this is really very good. Any children that see the behavior of the adults in this way, they're going to emulate that. They're going to mirror it. And I encountered courtesy, thoughtfulness, just about every place that I went. There wasn't a nasty, abrupt attitude. There was courtesy. But you know what? Sometimes you have to show it yourself. So remember, whether you're in New York City, Bali, no matter where, good manners count, thoughtfulness is appreciated, and maybe you'll get lucky like I did and have a singing bus driver that actually sings on key. But more than that, he had this wonderful attitude about life. I watched him greeting other bus drivers, police officers. He knew his route. He knew the people there. And he made a decision about how he was going to respond to his day. So you can do the same thing yourself. Remember, your mind, your attitude, your demonstration of who you are is your choice. So you can be an obnoxious jerk if you want. But hey, I really like that singing bus driver. And do you know what? He made the day for everyone just shine. So we were very fortunate. Now, by the way, telephone lines are open. Though I'm in New York, it doesn't make any difference. You can call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the telephone number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And, of course, I'd like to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, let me tell you what I perceive. And, of course, you're always welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. A little bit of trivia, and this may not make you feel very happy, but do you know $48 billion? Wrap your mind around that number, $48 billion. That's right. That's the estimated amount of fraudulent or otherwise improper payments made by Medicare in 2010. That's scary, folks. $48 billion. We talk about a deficit. If we just start with one area like that, I wonder what else could be cleaned up. That's just a Donna thought. Also, something that's happening among Americans. People like to say Americans are so wasteful. Let me tell you something. With the economic shift that we've had, the recession, depression environment that is being felt all over the country, do you know Americans are not buying new cars like they were? They're staying with their older cars 14% longer than they did at the end of 2008, and they're not buying their technology or technological toys as frequently as they used to. So they're saying, wait a minute, let me think about this. We're also saving more money, and we're saying, how can we work with things differently? I have to chuckle because in the state of Washington, we got our water bill, and I have to share this with you because it just blew me away. People in the state of Washington, in our particular area, have become quite thoughtful about their water usage. They cut back so well that the utility company, the water department, had to raise the fees because people weren't using enough water. I know, it's hard to believe, but they did that in San Francisco. The same thing happened in San Francisco in the 70s when they were going through, it was the late 70s, and they were going through a drought, and people had to pay a substantial amount more for their water, not because they were using more, but because they had become so efficient at being wise with their water usage that the water companies weren't making any money. Go figure. Mm-hmm. So when the word's put out, hey, folks, we want you to do X, Y, Z, and then they start raising your bills, doesn't that make you wonder a little bit? I think so. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I love stories about people that make decisions in their lives about what they can do, how they can make a difference. And there's a wonderful man who's in Boise, Idaho. His name is Drew Johnson. And he was busy working, but he found that he was in his home far too much. He wasn't getting out. He wasn't socializing with as many people as he wanted to. So he decided that he was going to make an evaluation of what was most important to him. He loved travel. He really liked to be involved in volunteering. So he came up with a concept, because he enjoyed technology as well, that he was going to take a road trip, and he was going to do good things for people all across the U.S. And what he was going to do is document it on a website. Technology is amazing. So in the latter part of 2009, this young man decided that he was going to travel to 48 states in 48 weeks. He was going to volunteer 20 hours a week wherever he could be helpful. And he ended up working at a farm for rescued horses in Glenville, Pennsylvania. He did work for the Special Olympics bowling tourney in Omaha, Nebraska. And he said it was fascinating because so many times when he would show up in an area and volunteer to do something, people would say, "It's amazing. You've arrived just at the right moment." And he has been in Wyoming, 48 states in 48 weeks. Now, he's got a website. If you want to read about him, it's 48by48.com. Now, that's the numbers, 48by48.com. Shows his volunteering adventure map. And he said what he's finding in doing this and sharing it with other people, he said it just makes people aware that there's so many different things that they can do in their own community, in their own space. And he said, I just know that people will show up at the right time in the right place doing what they enjoy doing for the right reasons. Isn't that something that makes you feel good? It should. Just remember, you are an individual that makes a difference right where you are, whether it is being courteous to someone, whether it is being thoughtful and considerate for someone or to someone or an animal, or you want to be volunteering in various capacities, maybe at your local shelter for animals or hospice work or reading to seniors. I was talking with someone earlier today that one of their desires as a volunteer is to be able to go to the public library and help people learn literacy, maybe even work with kids. I said, your library is a wonderful place to go to. There's a place for everything. And if you have a special interest area, who knows? You might even have an opportunity to teach, to educate. If you're a person of, let's say, mature years, go ahead and volunteer. But this is a young man who's in his 30s. He decided, I don't want to wait until I'm old and gray. I'm going to do something now. I want to add a richness to my life, and you can do the same thing. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. I'm broadcasting from the Big Apple, yes, New York City, which is a world within worlds. I'm telling you, it's so exciting to meet people from all over the country, find that they're from different parts of the world, they have stories to share. And there's just a magic here. I cannot tell you how wonderful it is to be in New York, and I hope one day you'll have a chance to enjoy this phenomenal city like I am at this point. But if you'd like to chat with me today, 888-815-9756. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be glad to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. A couple of things I'm going to want to share with you is what they call crystal cures. And that is how stones can benefit your life. But what I wanted to do, it's springtime. Before I go into that, it's springtime, and I don't know about you, but often the urge occurs, I've got to clean some stuff out. It's time to go through closets. There's just this automatic feeling when spring is around, you want everything to be fresh. Well, I've got some tips about what you can do if you have a family. If you're a single person, it doesn't make any difference. These are some real good suggestions that I think enable us to get rid of stuff so that we can help out maybe our favorite charity and feel good about knowing that what we are getting rid of is going to benefit someone else. Now, for those of you that have had fancy dresses, party dresses of any kind, and you think, oh my goodness, I just don't know what to do with this. There's a wonderful organization called DonateMyDress.org, and you can find out if there's something in your area where you can take an old wedding dress, a bridesmaid's dress, something that's pretty that maybe could be made over for a young girl for a prom. And I know in the Seattle area, we have some wonderful groups that do this, and it enables girls to go in and to have really pretty, pretty dresses that they can wear to the prom and feel so very special and so beautiful. Computers, we turn them over very quickly. Why? Because the software becomes obsolete. The technology in certain computers can't keep up with what is evolving. So you can help a nonprofit in your community. And remember, you've got printers too, and those can be utilized as well. Now, they like to use them in schools for kids with special needs or also for employment training programs. So you can go to the National Christina Foundation, and they'll be happy to match you up with an organization and or person that can benefit from it. Now, this is where you go. You go to Christina.org, and Christina is spelled C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A.org, or they have a phone number of 203-863-9100. So you would be able to get rid of your stuff. Now, one thing I want to remind you about, whenever you're getting rid of your computers, whether it is a printer, and a printer is a computer unit, make sure that you remove the hard drive. because that contains all of your information. You want to be sure you smash it to smithereens, really destroy it, because if you just pass on the equipment without removing the hard drive, your information can be accessed by anybody that has the skills to do it. So keep that in mind. Also, with clothing, we know that we can always contact organizations like Dress for Success. And if you've got suits or ties for the guys, gals, if you have dress suits or things that you don't want to wear anymore, but you'd really like to feel good about donating to an organization that empowers other people to do that, to dress for success. That organization, you can go to careergear.org, careergear.org, check out Dress for Success, see what they have there. Also, a place I'd like you to think about is a mental facility. Now, this is something in the state of Washington. We have a very large mental facility that is in the Tacoma area. They are always looking for clothing because when people are able to leave the mental facility, they don't have the money or the means to go out and buy outfits that will give them a sense of appreciation, self-appreciation, good self-esteem, and self-respect. Check with your local mental institutions and see if they take donations of clothing. And I think it makes a great deal of difference. Also, something I became aware of, if you stay at hotels and if you take those little soap units, the shampoo items, the conditioner items, if you take those and you donate them to the Goodwill, to any of your mission facilities, any of those, they will take those items and give them out to people. And what I have learned is that in the mental institutions, they like those small bottles because they can refill them. And the inmates or whoever's using it won't waste a lot of it because many times they just will pour everything out. So they use those little bottles and it comes in very, very handy. So just some information there. This is something that I've learned through the years and I'm happy to pass it on. Musical instrument. My goodness, there's a lot of kids that are not able to afford instruments. So there's a Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation. They will take your instruments and they will refurbish them if necessary and give them to underprivileged children who can't afford their own instruments. Their website is clickonmhopus.org. That's mhopus.com. Or you can call them at 888-762-4328. That's 818-762-4238. Video games, well, you can go to donategames.org, donategames.org. It was founded by a parent of an 11-year-old boy who had a very rare cancer, and so this is something that the kids really enjoy. It's a great way to put things to work. There's organizations like onesight.org that will take your used eyeglasses, sports gears, if you've got medals, if you've got ribbons that you just don't need anymore, don't want anymore, but you just don't want to throw them away, go to sportsgift.org, sportsgift.org, or you can call them at 949-388-2359, and they'll love to take what you have. There's so many ways that we can enrich other people's lives, and all you have to do is go out there and just check things out, and you'll find out even more than you would ever have imagined that you can let your items go and know that somebody else is going to benefit from them. Okay, I told you I had some information on crystals, and there is history about crystals, and in every culture of the world, there's different belief systems, but I came across some real interesting information, and I thought I would share a couple of these points with you with the remaining time of the program. Rose quartz. You know, it's always been known as a love stone, but rose quartz says it can open your heart to those around you by actually absorbing any pain of heartache that you maybe have had, and it's a very harmonizing stone. So this is a stone that if you want to have it in your environment, it is one that's going to bring the aspect of love into your space. Well, I think I'm going to have to share more of this information. How about the garnet? How about carnelian? What about a green tourmaline? Turquoise, aquamarine, malachite, amber, amethyst? Well, we'll find out more about those stones. I'll share that information with you next week. This is Donna Sebo, broadcasting live from New York City. I'll be back in my home office as of Monday. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. If a bus driver in New York City in traffic that would turn your eyes just absolutely inward and you'd say, please get me out of here, if that bus driver can sing during his day, just know you can do the same in yours. Life doesn't always have smooth journeys, but even with a few bumps, good sense of humor and the love of music can make a big difference. Enjoy your weekend, and I look forward to being back with you on Monday. Have a fabulous day, a fabulous life, wherever you might be. Donna Sebo here. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.